Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Little David Bowie. Marty Griffin. Morning. It's cold. It's the weather forecast. It's really cold out there. You see how much snow they got up there in Erie. Hey, that's Erie. That's Pennsylvania's mistake on a lake. Remember that line? We used to use that all the time. Hey, Yin's from Erie. That's Pennsylvania's mistake on a lake. Poor Erie. What'd they get? Raz, how much snow? 63,
another 5 to 10 inches on the way.
Really? Did I read that this is the largest two-day snowfall in U.S. history?
In Pennsylvania history.
God. It's amazing. And by the way, people say that's fun. That's an emergency situation.
No, it's not fun.
And I also heard somebody say yesterday that they can manage it. No, they can't. It's a disaster, right? And then it doesn't go away.
The last time I saw anything remotely like this was watching a YouTube video a couple of years ago of the blizzard of 77, 78, or 79 in there, where they got 70-plus inches of snow in Cleveland and in Buffalo, and they were using front-end loaders to remove this, which is what they're doing in Erie, by the way.
You know, I worry about senior citizens
right.
who need medication.
Got to get people out to the hospital.
Or if you need an ambulance, you have chest pains.
What about a house fire?
What about a woman having a baby?
Yep.
So, I mean, it can all sound like fun and games and what a beautiful sight and blah, 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 but this is dangerous stuff.
Can't pick up the garbage.
No.
What if you have a water main break?
Any of it, right?
Power lines are down.
What if you run out of food? What if you lose power? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bad situation. I hope folks are okay up there. We haven't heard in terms of fatalities or anything yet, so no. Maybe they're managing to this point.
And that's the good thing. At least they're used to getting great big snowfall. This is a record setter, but they are used to getting several feet of snow at a time. It's not unheard of there.
It's amazing. So. Thanks, Rez. Amazing. Mm. I hope they're okay. I can't imagine. Hey, we have a lot going on today. We have to talk about James Harrison getting fired and getting a new gig and the outrage. Yeah, okay. Let's have another Coke and a smile. The outrage. We're going to talk about James Harrison. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about something that happened to me outside of a church on Christmas Eve. And the couple, it was actually very gut-wrenching. A couple, they were on, they were standing about 50 yards apart outside of our church. As mass let out, big, big crowd, I don't know, 1,000 people, I don't know. It's a small church, so probably 500. But regardless, and they had signs, and they asked, the sign said, we lost our house, we lost our jobs. And they had two little kids with them. It was horrible to see. And what would you do? And by the way, they were so ashamed, the woman was covering her face with the sign. It was actually, what would you do? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about pool tipping. Did you see this? This new law they now is going to order restaurants. If you're a waitress or a waiter, you're supposed to put all of your tips in a jar, and then everybody splits them. Dishwashers, and busboys, and anyone that works in the restaurant. The argument is that it's fair and equitable. The other argument is that it shafts the waitresses and waiters, and then it allows the owners of a restaurant to pay much lower salaries to folks because, hey, you're getting tips. We're going to talk about that. I don't know. I don't know. Hey, I have a Get Marty story tonight that you've got to see. 6:30 tonight. Unbelievable story. This absolutely wonderful, sweet woman sent me this gut-wrenching letter about losing her house and she couldn't pay her taxes. And this man came through like you can't believe. This is unbelievably touching and demonstrates the kindness of strangers. A lot more to get to. But before we do, I want to mention something that we got into yesterday on the show because I think it says a lot about you folks, and it says a lot about strangers and a lot about people stepping up. So this wonderful woman yesterday sent me this email yesterday morning about 11 o'clock, so you probably didn't hear it in this hour. So she sends me this letter, this email. My name is Darlene Bohasky. We have propane as our main source of heat. She's in Finleyville, by the way. The order was placed a month ago for the fill with Thrifty Propane. They're out of Ohio and has yet to be delivered. The propane has been paid for, and we have a pre-buy account with them for years. Please contact me if you can help. This situation is getting worse. My mom is living with me after 5 years in a nursing home. She has Alzheimer's, and I need to have heat. The tank is now under 10%. I have contacted the Attorney General as well. So she sends this note at 11:06. She lives in Finleyville, which is 40 minutes outside the city. And they have a very nice home. And I went out there and I saw her yesterday. She's an amazing woman, very strong-willed. Her beautiful mother was there in the house, Betty. And we went out and saw the propane tank, and it was less than 10% filled. And so what did it reach this morning? 8 degrees. And with the wind chill, I saw some of the forecasters had 2 below. So with 10%, they're telling me that that it would last 1 or 2 days. And so regarding this Thrifty propane, this sketchy outfit out of Ohio, Thrifty Propane, do not use them. Do not, regardless of price. Why do I say this? Well, I called them. They were rude and obnoxious. First of all, the customer service folks don't answer. So I had to go through a backdoor number, and a salesperson answered. He's trying to sell me gas. And I said, sir, this family has less than 10%. I can't help you. Sir, but they need, I can't help you. You've got to call customer service. But they won't call me back. Well, they're going to call you back at some point. Yeah, but why can't you help me? Click. Hangs up on me. Thrifty Propane. Then you do a little digging, and the Attorney General's office in Ohio fined them a significant amount because they refused to deliver propane on time, and this happens a lot with this company. 80% of the reviews online are negative. Thrifty Propane. Thrifty. Don't chase the price sometimes, because sometimes with the price you get a bogus service. They were absolutely rude to us when we asked them to make sure that a woman who has a propane tank that's less than 10% full, has an 85-year-old mom in the house who she's taking care of who has Alzheimer's, and they didn't care. They could care less. You know who did care? AmeriGas. AmeriGas. I left a voicemail message with them, let's say 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. By 1:30, this wonderful woman with AmeriGas called. I guess it's a big company with all over the place. She was one of their communications folks. She was very kind. She was very considerate. She took my name and my number, and within an hour, they called Darlene Bohaski in Finleyville, and they're going to be delivering gas. They're not charging upfront fees. They're giving her an unbelievable rate, and they're doing it today. AmeriGas. All I'm saying is, you got to learn to care. I don't care what your business model is. What business model do you set up that suggests that you don't get gas to a house that has a tank that's less than 10% full and they've been asking you for gas for more than a month? What business model is that? What type of person suggests that that's a good way to make a living, to put folks in precarious situations like this? 80% of the reviews online are negative, and they were already spanked hard by the Attorney General's office for doing exactly what they were doing to this sweet woman in Finleyville. What type of person sleeps well at night setting up a business under that standard? How do you believe that works for you? Regardless of what profit you may or may not be making, how do you live with yourself? The guy told me, I don't care. I'm a sales guy. I said, so you're selling customers, but you can't help a woman who has less than 10% of her propane. Yeah. Yeah. So he said, okay. But AmeriGas, so you know, had nothing to do with this woman. Never, ever sold her gas. Stepped up, and they're delivering it this morning. Good for AmeriGas. We'll be right back. Hey, just a little tidbit. Utility companies will not shut off your utilities when it's this cold. They just won't do it. Folks think they'll shut you off. They will not do it. They're not going to let folks die. But let me say this. Do yourself a favor, please. If you have a senior citizen, somebody who is homebound, somebody who is not very social, somebody that you know doesn't have a lot of family or friends, and they live next to you and you have some contact with them, because in many cases, seniors kind of climb into a shell as they get older and keep to themselves. Do yourself a favor. Do us a favor. Check on them. And what does that mean? Knock on the door. Mrs. Smith, how's it going? Do you need anything? If they have a lot of snow on their sidewalk or their stairs, shovel for them. Throw a little salt down. Just check on the seniors in your life. Some of these folks, they just can't get around. I mean, and then they're afraid to go outside in this kind of weather. And so do us all a favor. You know, I said this maybe as a New Year's resolution for all of us once we get past the whole I've got to lose some weight routine. Maybe we do something substantive in the new year and we step up and help one person that's a stranger to us. Anyway, if you're thinking about it today and you're at home and there's a senior citizen that lives near you and you could tell that their snow hasn't been touched, well, there's ice under it, you could tell that their garbage is still out, maybe you help them out and just knock on the door, ask them if they need anything. They can't get to the grocery store, they can't get prescriptions. And a lot of folks panic in this kind of cold weather because it can be very, very dangerous and bones get brittle. Hey, a couple things before we get to this James Harrison stuff. My wife, Christine, and my kids, Sophia and Vince and Chloe, are skiing at Hidden Valley. I do not ski for a multitude of reasons. First and foremost, I have horrible knees, so when I go down the hill, I dislocate my knee, and then I spend the next 3 months complaining about how I tried to ski again. So they went skiing last night, and I was home alone, like that kid in that movie. I just don't. Maybe I'm too old. Maybe I'm too settled in. I just don't like it. I just don't like it. I don't like anything about it. I don't like being without the family. You know, it's funny. I guess you realize you've transitioned from the old life where you love being alone, where you couldn't wait to be alone, to now it just stinks. It's so quiet. There's no one screaming. There's no one laughing. I don't know. Home alone. It's not what it's cracked up to be. I told the wife this morning, get home. I'm afraid in the house. It makes noises. How is that? I'm not afraid. It's silly. One more thing. I've got to tell this story about men and directions. Men get very stubborn about where they're going, even now with the new technologies on your iPhone. So I use Waze. Waze? Have you used this Waze, Mia? It's a wonderful app. W-A-Z-E. It's amazing. You know what Waze does? It will tell you if there's a cop with radar up ahead. It really will. And it's the shortest distance between two points. It's an amazing app. W-A-Z-E. Check it out. And Google Maps. So I'm with the world's greatest photographer. He's a fabulous guy. He works harder than anybody I know. His name's Ian. KDK-TV. And we're going to Finleyville yesterday to shoot this Get Marty story, the woman that we ended up getting gas for her house. And so I put the address in Waze, which is very, very reliable. We're starting to get close. I said, you know, we got to take that exit. We went right. No. So we blow past the first exit. This is a true story. Ask Ian if you see him. We're heading down 51. We keep going. I said, okay. Second exit. Hey, wait, what about? No. I know where we're going. I know. I said, okay, maybe Waze is wrong. Let's try Google Maps. So now we're on our second app, Google Maps. Google Maps tells us to U-turn and head back to the exit that Waze told us to take. No. 5 minutes later. Now, we're not that way out of line yet, but we've definitely blown past the exits that Waze and Google Maps told us to take because men know better than the apps. Okay? Finally, we're 10 minutes down the road, and Ian, my man, says, he starts to mumble, which is what we do. We don't want to admit that we don't know more than the satellite positioning maps. He pulls off to an exit, and we turn around and follow back to where Google Maps and Waze told us to go in the first place. Men are like this. Women don't do that. They just don't. Women actually follow the map. They just do. Men, no, this is the way you go. This is the way I always went. Okay, but this is a global position satellite. It's telling us where the traffic signals are and where the possible hangups. Forget that silliness. But we got there. But we blew off two GPS signals in the process. Google Maps, baby. Stubborn men. When we get back, I want you to think about this in the break, and I'm going to play some sound that'll kind of tune you in, focus you in on the question. Is James Harrison a traitor? Is James Harrison a traitor? Next. Amazing. The lack of value in human life, this triple shooting in Swissville. Man, over drugs. To imagine that you would be in a room, and apparently there was this shootout in a house, and there are two people dead, and another man will most likely die, and it's over drugs and money. And to imagine that you would be in a room and you would not have an issue with a 7-year-old boy in that room, and that 7-year-old boy is dead over drugs and money, 7 years old. And one of my favorite people, Kenny Sims, the killing of a 7-year-old. Welcome to the world of drug dealing. When you use or deal drugs, you put your whole family in trouble. Death lives on your doorstep. It's unbelievable to me. You know, we kind of gloss over it because it becomes this kind of cliche, right? Oh, yeah, here we go again. I'm used to this kind of a feeling, but that's a 7-year-old boy. That's my son's age. And he's dead over drugs and money. It's unbelievable. It takes your breath away, folks. 7 years old. No shot at any kind of life. Apparently they were dealing drugs in the house and someone owed someone something and we end up with dead people everywhere. Swissville. Yesterday afternoon about 4:30. Hey, transitioning here to this James Harrison thing. By now you know this. He got cut. He's had a hell of a career. He's made his mark on Pittsburgh. And he got picked up by the Patriots. Fine. I guess it's our arch enemy, I guess. I don't know. I don't think much about it. I love the Steelers. I love to see them win, but I don't think much about this kind of stuff. But folks went crazy. They went insane all over social media, just abusing James Harrison. And I wanted to play a couple of clips that KDK TV snagged last night. Listen to this.
I just said, what a traitor he is, leaving Pittsburgh for Patriots.
It was a bad move. I thought we should have kept James Harrison, at least for the leadership role.
Please, Mia, play the one more time. I want folks to hear the first guy.
I just said, what a traitor he is, leaving Pittsburgh for Patriots.
It was a bad move. I thought we should have kept James Harrison, at least for the leadership role.
I know nothing about it. They've had an unbelievable track record, the Steelers have. They always win. We get spoiled by it. We can nitpick things. I don't know enough about football. I do know this, that they do know football. And for me, that's just that. It's a business. And they let him go because he's not effective or he's not as effective as he needs to be. I don't know about his speed. I love all the posts on Facebook. Yeah, you could tell he was slowing down, really, could you? I don't know enough about it. I love watching them. I don't know about splits and halfback blocking and James Harrison's edge speed. I just don't know it. I do know this, that the team has had tremendous success. They're right there in the thick of things, and they cut James Harrison, and he got himself another job. My question to you folks is he a traitor? I find the rhetoric to be amazing. I mean, hateful stuff about James Harrison. On Facebook, that he's a horrible guy, that he can't come back to town. Okay. I don't get it. I just don't. It's not that I don't care. I do care. I care a lot. I've always respected how he played. He's not a very nice guy, per se. And by that, I mean this. He's not very social. He doesn't talk much. I mean, but we don't need a talk host. We need a guy who's a good football player, and I guess he's been a heck of a teammate. And he's made amazing contributions, and they caught him, and he found another gig. That's it for me. And now the outrage all over social media. He's a bum. He can't come back to town. He's a loser. And then other folks just abusing the Steelers for making this massive mistake. I don't know enough about it. I really don't. I don't think you do either. Is he a traitor? Here, Tomlin didn't like him. Anything Tomlin wants, Rooney gives him. He's not a traitor. He wants to work. Okay, that person knows Tomlin, and Christie doesn't like Tomlin. Janice, it's the way people think today. If you don't walk, talk, and think like them, you are not, you're automatically a traitor, not American, etc. Not a bad point. Luann, playing football is a job. If someone is let go from a job, they have to find a new one. Just doing what he needs to do. I wish him luck. All this traitor or shame on him talk is so immature. You get fired. You look for a new job. Big deal. Debbie, Steelers are thugs keeping jerks. I have not liked Tomlin. Go Patriots. Why don't people like Tomlin? Why do you care? They win. What do you want them to come at your house? You want them to come over and make some cookies with you? You want to hang out with them? I don't get it. Is he a traitor? 866-391-1020. Jump in on the Tomlin talk, on the Harrison talk. I think we're too involved in the lives of these guys. I think we have too much free time. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Marty. Great show as always. Happy holidays to your brother.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Marty, I don't think James Harrison is a traitor. If KDK fired you 2 days before Christmas, Marty, wouldn't you look for another job to provide for your family?
I would, sir, immediately.
Yes, James couldn't do his job anymore. They go with younger linebackers who have more speed, cover backside of the backfield. James couldn't do it. And like I say, football's a cruel, hard business, Marty, and I wish him the best of luck for all he gave us, but he's just looking for another job to provide for his family. Thank you very much, Marty. Have a great holiday season, brother.
Yeah, great phone call. I love your enthusiasm. Joanne, he's going to tell them all of our secrets. Really? Is that what he's going to do? James is? If we are relying on James Harrison to bring us down, we have a horrible team. He's going to tell them all of our secrets. Who was the brainiac who came up with the decision to release him now? Karen, he can share our plays. A New England cheat again. By the way, the outrage, this is spot on for me. This is absolutely spot on for me. The outrage should be that there appears to be more outrage about Harrison signing with New England than the killing of a 7-year-old over drugs. Kind of why I did this. It's absolutely true. Not a mention. It's actually a fascinating observation. Not a mention about the death of a 7-year-old boy because he's dead and that's the way it is and that's the world we live in. James Harrison gets traded. The entire Steeler Nation is up in arms. Eddie, my man in the valley.
Hello, tall man.
How are you, sir?
I just called. I told the person that's filling in for Tamara, if anybody comes over to my house to make cookies, it's going to be you and T.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? You're spot on as usual. I'm in the other room so that it doesn't interfere with the radio. But there's a 7-year-old boy, like you said, the same age as your son. And all of a sudden, Pittsburgh has a crime rate more than Philadelphia does, from what I understand.
We do. Higher crime rate per capita.
Hey, I hope you had a nice Christmas, Marty, and I hope you have a nice New Year's. And tell Miss Christine I said hello.
Thank you, my man. We seem to, and I'm not judging people, and I kind of sort of get it. We compartmentalize things. We have a lot of violence in our community. And by the way, he was spot on. Latest crime statistics from the FBI indicate Pittsburgh has a higher per capita violent crime rate than Philadelphia. We have a dead 7-year-old in Swissville, and people are freaked out over James Harrison. Why? 866-391-1020. Marty Griffin, the outrage from my friend, Chief Harbin. The outrage should be there appears to be more outrage about Harrison signing with New England than the killing of a 7-year-old over drugs. Put it into perspective, and I was mentioning this at the top of the hour, my close friend Kenny Sims, who has a lot of wisdom about the streets and journalism and what happens in our world, saying that we care more about Harrison than we do about a dead 7-year-old, and he's spot on. And I can't actually wrap my arms around it, and I'm certainly not judging, but what happens is we compartmentalize, generally, just my observation. So we think that's not my street, that's not my kid, that's not my shooting, that's what they do over there. And so we're cool with it. James is part of a team that we idolize, that we obsess over, that we all relate to, by the way, including myself. And so that becomes more material to us today. It doesn't mean I don't think that we don't care about seven-year-olds. It's just we don't know what to do about that. We just don't anymore. Lee, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I don't consider him a traitor. Everyone got what they wanted. The Steelers wanted a team that they thought they could depend on, and the Patriots picked up a wonderful linebacker. You know, just everyone got what they wanted, and hopefully the Steelers will come out the champs.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Lee. Happy New Year. Kind of how I see it. I wish him the best. It's a business. It's a business. He's a businessman who happens to play football. B in Latrobe. Good morning.
You know, Marty, I don't get it. I like the Steelers. I'm a Steeler fan. But when you can make such a big deal about the trading of a player, Brandon, he's a good player.
Yeah.
And the death, but you don't seem to care about a seven-year-old child being killed. I don't get it. Mayor Fetterman of Braddock said that we should legalize marijuana, and there wouldn't be this much violence over the drug trade.
I disagree.
Why?
Because marijuana has nothing to do with this seven-year-old being dead. It just doesn't. And what are we going to legalize? We have 63,000 people last year died, drug overdoses related to legal.
Hold on.
It's a conversation.
Okay.
63,000 dead from opioid drug overdoses last year. Legal opioids, ma'am. So when we legalize everything else, what are we going to have? More dead.
No. I think that, you legalize marijuana, which happens to be where there is a lot of violence on the street.
Yeah.
That is in the hands of a lot of violent drug trade. It's not the opioids that are being fought over. It is the marijuana.
This 7-year-old boy was shot over illegal drugs, opioids, heroin. It had nothing to do with marijuana. And by the way, to round it up, this ridiculousness that legalizing marijuana will cut down on crime, it has actually resulted in a spike in crime in Colorado. A significant spike in crime in Colorado where they legalize marijuana. That's a load of crap, legalize illegal drugs. 63,000 dead, ma'am. 63,000 legal drugs. Silly. I find it fascinating that people feel as if that's a solution. Let's legalize cocaine, marijuana, and heroin, and to hell with anybody's life. Just do a little research before you make these phone calls. It's absurd to me. Horrible connection, ma'am. You must have been way out in the boonies. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Marty, that's insane, that comparison. I've always said that myself. Harrison's not a traitor. It's a job. I mean, people on Facebook. I got rid of Facebook. You know why? It's a waste of time. On a lighter note, let me say this.
Hold on, let me say this, though, about Facebook. It's actually interesting. It's like anything else. I have had tremendous feedback from Facebook, resulting in tremendous ability to create change in our community, to help people. But conversely, there's some dark, evil dirtbags on Facebook.
Yeah. You
know what I do, Jim? I just block them. I don't fight with them.
Well, that's good, Marty.
I just block them and walk away.
Well, let me just tell you, on that Finleyville case, that was a great story you did. And let me talk a little about Waze.
Yeah.
I'm almost 66 in March, and I've been in sales all my life. I'm a new job now, and I use it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm a Medicare insurance broker. I use it at nighttime. I actually was up in Periopolis and at some farm. I couldn't find the guy's house because it was dark.
Sure.
I put Waze on, Marty. I went right to the door.
That's amazing.
Same thing in Washington.
It's amazing.
Well, you know, you can't go wrong with Waze. It's free. I have it on my smartphone.
It's amazing. And by the way, what happens is, so if I see an accident, I report that to Waze.
Exactly. That will give you the alert. Marty, you can be on the road, and it'll tell you how long it'll take. It'll tell you there's an accident up ahead.
It sends you on the shortest route.
Yeah.
It takes you to side streets. It's fabulous. It's unbelievable. Thanks, Jim. Yeah. I appreciate you, buddy. W-A-Z-E. We're kind of circling back around to a conversation that started at the top of the hour. And we were talking about how men get stubborn about directions and know more than Waze and Google Maps. And it's actually kind of funny. But he's also right. It's a fabulous app. Check it out. There's nothing in it for me. I don't own part of the company. It just works. By the way, Billy Sawyer, the last word. That's like saying, regarding legalizing all drugs, that's like saying the death penalty will deter murder, as if these thugs don't risk death every day on the street. Spot on. I've said this from day one. No one, before they shoot three people, says, hey, man, I could get the death penalty. I'm going to go home and watch SpongeBob. It just does not happen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.